Thank God. Why don't you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. We read this several weeks ago. We're going to spend a little bit of time, more time here. Yep. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is multifaceted. It's one of the biggest words in the New Testament. It's hard to boil it down to just one thing. There's different facets of it. You can emphasize different parts of it. But one way we can look at it is that grace is everything that God gives us and does for us and has provided for us. You need grace to do what He's called you to do. You say people, somebody's graced or gifted to do something, that means they're specially gifted to do that. God's anointing is on them to do it. In other words, you try to do it, and it doesn't turn out the same. They do it, and it's just like it flows. Why? Because God's gifted them to do that. You need grace to do that. We have the favor, the unmerited favor of God. That's an aspect of it. That God, we didn't deserve His favor, but He gave it to us because of Jesus. You need grace in your life to basically do anything. If you're going to live with God, if you're going to work with Him. People say, "Well, I can do all kinds of things. I don't need God." People get up. People that don't know God, people that are basically being foolish, get up. They've accomplished something and say, "There was one person in particular that got up and was like, number one, I did this myself. God didn't have anything to do with it, and I'm not thanking God or anything. I did this." That person's going to face God one day. That person's not keeping their heart beating. It's only by the mercy of God that they're even alive at that point. Now, if we know what the truth is, the fact is we're on this earth and we have some time, and it's all a gift. God has graced us. His grace is on the earth today. We live in the age of grace right now. There's a whole lot of people that aren't being wiped out. If it weren't for the mercy of God, they'd be gone. But no, we need the grace of God. We need to draw on it in every area of our lives. And to be strong in that, to be strong in basically drawing on Him, not drawing on ourselves, our own strength. Looking to Him to be strong. I just want to spend a few minutes just focusing on that. Why don't you turn over to Philippians 4:10. This is completely contrary to the world system. The world tells you you're independent. You don't need to depend on anybody. You make sure that you take care of yourself. And you don't need anybody. Be self-reliant. Believe in yourself. You ever heard this? Yes, it's very common, and most people nod their heads, even Christians. And it sounds good. Yeah, believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, people won't believe in you until you believe in you. Well, that's a half-truth. Should we believe? Okay, it's better than believing you're messed up and you can't do anything. Okay, that's not going to get you anywhere. On the other hand, if you think it's all you, and what you can do, and believe in what you can do, there you're going to run out. Sooner or later, you're going to bump up against the limits of what you can do or what I can do. But there are no limits in God. And when my life is based on what I can do through Him, that's totally different. We ought to be strong in believing we can do whatever he tells us to do. If he tells us to do something, I can do it. And we say, I'm going to believe that I can do that. I believe in myself able through him to do that. I believe in the God in me. That's totally different than saying, I believe I can do it. And you'll find as we go through life and we do what he tells us to do, he's going to give us things that we can't do. Or that maybe stretch us and we're feeling like, why don't you just give it to me over here in this area because here I'm comfortable. And that's the problem a lot of times. You want, and if the world will just major on that and do exactly what they believe they can do in and of their own strength. Focus on what you're strong in and go after that and just believe you can do it and you can achieve great things. That's what people say. It sounds good, and that will get people to a certain degree of accomplishment, but that's not the way God set it up for us to work. He said, come to me. If he's our Lord, that means we're to go to him to find out what to do. If he tells us to do something, that's what we're supposed to do. What if it's not something you feel like you're real strong in doing? Should we still do it? Or should we say in that point, well, that's not my strong suit. I believe I won't do it. What just happened? We just took, we say he's Lord, but wait, that's only if you're telling me to do something that I feel good about. That's not Lord. That's not Lord. But if we'll walk through life and say, whatever, you want me to do it? I'll do it. Okay? It gives you something to do. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that. That makes me uncomfortable. But you said I could do it, so here it goes. I'm going to do it. Now who do you have to be strong in? Not you. Because you don't. You know I'm not strong in that. If you were taking a test that an inventory of your skills, this part wouldn't necessarily be your strong suit. Right? But you say, but God says that's what you're to do. This is what I want you doing. I'm not saying he's going to put you, you know, in places all the time where you just have no clue. No, his end goal is to grow us up. Number one, he cares about us personally, but then he's going to use our life to do something else and to bless other people as well. So his plan is the best possible plan that we could go on for our life. But it's not always comfortable. And we're going to have to, if we're going to walk with him, rely on him and be strong in his ability and his strength and his grace. It's not going to be, well, okay, God, here we go. I got this, you know, order, and it's totally what I feel comfortable with, and I'm just going to go do it. It's not going to happen. We don't have a reliance on him. And that's what life is all about. It is. It's about reliance on him. So he is going to grow us up and strengthen us as we go along, but it's never going to be apart from faith. Believing in him, relying on him, drawing from him. So here in Philippians 4, this is familiar to some people. Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10 of Philippians says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's talking about these people giving to him and meeting his needs, but in context, he's saying, look, I've learned that wherever I am, whether things are just pouring in, or I'm going through a season that, you know, it's a little bit lighter, I'm still happy. I'm still content. I'm still okay. I'm still content because I know Jesus. He's my Lord, and I'm okay. He goes, I'm not speaking that it was because you gave to me that I needed it. I'm not trying to get you to give me more. I'm just thankful because he said, I've learned to be content in whatever state. He said, I know how to be abased. That means I know how, when I'm going through a time that isn't quite so thick, I know how to go through that. I know how to go through the time when I'm living in abundance. And both sides contest your faith. Go through a time, people think, well, if I had all this, I wouldn't have any problems. Not so. You can be tested when you have all your needs met because you're tempted to go away from God and to say, well, I got it all. I got all these things now. I don't need to rely on Him. But we're to rely on Him all the time. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we quote that a lot of times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he's talking about, but it does apply in all areas. I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. That doesn't mean I can just do anything I want to do. If he's our Lord, we have to know where he's telling us to go and what he's telling us to do. In other words, we don't pick something and say, well, I'm going to go do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't work that way. That's combining it with the way the world would do it, that say, you come up with your plan, you come up with what you think you should do, and then you go, you get the loan, you get whatever, you start your business, whatever, you go do it. And it's going to go because you're going to put blood, sweat, and tears into it. You're going to make it go because you believe in yourself. That's what people think. And how many businesses, something like 80, 90% of all businesses fail within so many years? It's like 80% within 5 years, 90% within 10 years, something, you know, very high. People going out. Well, if God knows what we're supposed to do, I mean, that doesn't apply to business. It applies to everything, right? You know, people think they're going to be the next superstar on whatever show or, you know, musically. I'm going to do that. How many people, I can name shows, line up to sing or play or show their talent, and they all think they're going to be the next superstar? And how many of them do? How many kids believe they're going to be the next Major League Baseball players or professional football players? And how many are? Handful. Compared to, I mean, the number of professional athletes just in the NFL, I mean, it's not very many. Versus how many kids play soccer, not so much in the U.S., but worldwide, that's a big sport. You know, they want to play in the World Cup. They want to play for the, how many do? You look at that and say, well, that's that. But how many people do this in life? They think, well, I'm going to go do this. See, it's not that I'm going to go figure out what to do and then God's going to bless it and I can do all things. All things that he asks us to do. Right? We know that in extremes. All things that he asks you to do, would he help you rob a bank?
No.
Knock somebody off? You know? Does he help the mob? No. So it's all things based in the confines of the Word and in what he's telling us to do, right? Then we can do it. All things that he's telling us to do, that's why we have to get the plan. God, what did you tell me to do? All right, I can do that. Whether I like the plan or I think I like the plan or not is immaterial. All I have to know is this is the plan. That's all I have to know. And then I have to know that I can do it. If you told me to do it, I already have the strength to do it. Period. I have it. You told me to do it, I have what it takes to do it. Because you're not going to give me a plan that I'm doomed to fail. But it comes back to, I better know what I'm supposed to do. But then, once I'm in that place, then God can help me and I can draw on Him to strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. Not in me. in Him. I can draw on it. I can be strong in Him. Turn over to John 15. If we would just get this, you know, in the forefront of our understanding, that we can't do anything apart from Him, that would help a lot. It really would. It seems so simple, but it's so easy to drift off of. And the enemy will accommodate you, try to get you to do something. He'll work on your pride one way or another. Something's beneath you. You feel like God is telling you to do something. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm better than that. Or I can do that, and there's no way you have any business doing it. Well, you can do it. You can do it. Surely you can do it. Yeah, you're going to do that, some real big thing. You have the ability to do it. You got, and it's not the plan of God. But the enemy will work. If we'll let him, he'll work and say, oh, no, you're the next so-and-so. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. And it's taking you right out of the plan of God. But you can do it. See, he'll work on both sides. What we should do is sit right up in the middle. I can't do anything without you, Lord. What do you want me to do? And once I know what you want me to do, okay, I can do that. Whether it's big, great, small, doesn't make sense to me. It's nothing I can see ever working out. It has nothing to do with it. Just what do you want me to do? I can do that. In John 15, what did he say? It said, in verse 4, let's just read verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Did you hear me? No, I didn't get any reaction whatsoever. If that hit us, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Do you hear that? If we're bearing fruit, we're going to get pruned. That's not necessarily the most pleasant process. That means you're getting something taken away from you. It's so it seems. You're being molded and shaped. But you're bearing fruit. You could say, well, I'm doing pretty good where I am. Okay, you qualify to be pruned. To bear more. But Lord, I was comfortable here. I'm comfortable doing this. I don't want something else. What did it say again? It said, if every branch that bears fruit, did you see the ones that don't bear fruit, he takes away. Okay, good. We're not in that category. So if we are bearing fruit and we've done some things, then we qualify to be pruned so that we can bear more. But that's not necessarily fun. Because your world is being like, wait a minute, I like that branch. I like that leaf or whatever over there. That's go. Well, that has to go because to me to get to the next level, that's going to have to go. And I don't necessarily see that. That's why I have to say whatever you want me to do, I'm going to draw on you to do it. And this may not be fun, but if that's what it takes, if that's where you want me to go, I can do it. And we're going to do it. And then we get to a higher level. Now we're bearing fruit at this higher level. Guess what? We're qualified to get pruned again. And this is life with God. I'm not saying it's not good. It's awesome. But those parts that you go through that you're pruning, not necessarily so fun. But it's all good because God's bringing us up every step. I mean, have you ever played a sport or something where you felt like you bumped up against something, you didn't feel like you could go any further? That was it. You don't know how people play above that level, but as for you, I can't run anymore, I'm done. But you push through that to where you can run more. You know, I can't run anymore, but you get to where you can. You blow through that to where now there's a whole other level above that. Or you play in a sport, I don't know how I can get this any faster, but you work on it and you get through that. Now it opens up a whole other area because now you're not hindered by what you were before. We can see that in the natural. It's the same with our life. So we have to stay close to him. He said, so every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's the only way to bear fruit and bear everlasting fruit, is to abide in him, to be strong in him, to draw from him. So where does the vine or the branch, you know, the fruit where it's the branch is bearing fruit, it's tied in to the vine where it's gathering, getting strength from. It's not doing it on its own. So when we're tempted and we're pushed up against something in life and we're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this, that's the time to draw on him. To say, wait a minute, God, first check, am I where I'm supposed to be? Number one, because there is no grace to do something out of God's will. Did you hear me? We don't get to choose where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and say, God bless it. It doesn't work that way. God tells us what to do, and there is a strength to do that, because if he told us to do it, the ability is there to help us. So number one, if it's getting tough, make sure I'm doing what I ought to be doing. But if I'm sure of that, I double check, okay, I'm going forward, and I can do this, and draw on him. Know that the fruit isn't going to come forth with me isolated. It's going to come forth with me drawing on him. Real fruit. The only way real fruit is going to come forth is if I'm pulling from the Almighty in this earth. Real fruit, that's going to last. Yeah, you can do a bunch of stuff. That's not the same thing. People do it all the time. But it'll be burned up. It won't last. Verse 4, I abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Well, surely I can do something. Nothing. Nothing worthwhile. Nothing that's going to last. You say, but there's all kinds of people doing stuff. Yeah, but from his perspective, we can't do anything that's going to last. The perspective of God Almighty looking at the earth from eternity. People do these little things that it doesn't measure even on the radar, because it's not done drawing from him, and it's not eternal. It'll be burned up. In this, there are men's history books, and then there are what God deems important and what's going to last through all eternity. People could build an empire in any given areas, but if it's not what God would have them to do, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. People can live and die and never even take the first step into what God has called them to do. Never even be born again, number one. And then they're in hell for eternity. Not because God sent them there independent. They chose not to accept Jesus. And then there's many steps in between. People take the step into the kingdom of God and never fulfill what God has called them to do, because they won't step towards, well, I can't. I won't. Can't or won't. Some people say, I won't do that. Forget it. Well, that's rebellion. Not gonna step into what God has called them to do. And then they look at other people look at it and say, I can't. Well, that's kind of a variation of I won't. Because if you believe God, if he told us to do something, you say, I can't, either you're wrong or he's wrong. One of the two. And if he said do it and you can do it, then I have a choice. Either I'm going to take him at his word and say I can do it, and I'm going to draw on you and we're going to do this thing. I have no clue how, but we're going to do it. Or I say I can't. Okay, then that means he's a liar. That means he doesn't know it, or he's incompetent. I don't think he's either. He knows what to tell us to do, and he'll bring us along, and he'll help us. But he said, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." If we'll abide in him and draw on that strength, he said, we'll bear much fruit. Much fruit. We'll bear much fruit. We'll grow. But if we're drawing on him, drawing on him just in going through life in every area. And some people get this idea that you do that in the big things. You can take care of all the little things yourself, but if you get into a big fix, okay, now's the time to hit the floor, get on your knees, and really draw on God because we need to get through this. Help me, brother. Pray for me. No, there might be situations like that where, yeah, you do need to make sure you're seeking God, but we can just be drawn on his strength all day, every day. Just drawing on him. Drawing on him in just the normal stuff. Just cultivate a lifestyle of it's God who's strengthening me in the little things. How are you going to know how to draw on him in the big things if we don't just know how to draw on him in the little things? And drawing on him in the little things will keep us from having some of these big things. You know, sometimes it's easy for people to get these fixes and go, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I messed up. Help me. Get me out of this." And God's merciful and he's gracious and they get out. But then they go do right back the same thing again, and then they're back in because they're not drawing. It's like, I'm going back to my normal life. I got through my crisis. I don't need to draw on him anymore. I'm okay. I can coast. And then end up right back in the same place. How much better would it be that we just learn to just draw on him? Constantly make tweaks. I'm going to draw on him here. I'm drawing. God, what should I do here? Should I do this or that? I'm going to draw on him to strengthen me here. I feel like I can't do that, but I know I can through him, and I'm going to draw on him so I get a little stronger in here. And then, this is what I feel like I should do. Well, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to draw on him, and I draw, and so then I get stronger. And then we find ourselves just being led continually and bearing fruit. And fruit, and yes, we're tweaked a little bit, we're pruned, but we know it's the Lord. And so we don't have some of these huge deals. I'm not saying that the challenges of life won't come to us, but even in that, we've been drawn on him, something comes up, and we say, "All right, Lord, I've been going with you, now show me how to take care of this. What should we do?" That's just the next thing, because I've been drawn on him, I've been drawing on him, I've been drawing on him, something comes up. Okay, it might be a little bigger, but what do we do here? Because that's your standard operating procedure, is that I'm just going to draw on him. So this is just a little bigger. Okay, I'm not falling apart. I'm just going to draw on him here. Just a different situation, but I'm still drawing on him. I'm still pulling on him. I still believe that I can do it through Christ, not through myself. It's not like, whoa, this came up. Okay, because if we're doing that all the time, drawing on him, it would be hard to something comes up and go, okay, now I have to handle this. You wouldn't reverse it. You're so used to just drawing on him. Now it's even something that looks a little bit more like you need help. First reaction is, "Lord, help me. Help me." See, a lot of people do it reverse. They don't draw on him ever because they think they can handle it. Then they hit a brick wall and don't know what to do. Now I need something. Now I need God. You heard the saying, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I don't need God. Well, good luck getting out of this one, buddy. Okay, now I need God. Something really bad happened. Okay, now I need God. No, but as Christians, we need him. That's why we got born again, is we know we need a Savior. This is one thing. I'm not missing hell unless I have a Savior. That's how you get born again. I need a Savior. Also, otherwise, I'm going there like everybody else. I can't do this. I don't care how many, you know, credentials I have or how much brain power I have. I can't save myself. So I need him. So I call on him. The Bible says if I confess him, believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, I'll be saved. So I'm saved. Well, I started out needing him and relying on him. What? So now I'm going to live life and I think I don't need him? I'm going to go through the normal stuff. Well, I don't need him now. Until a really big thing comes up, then I need him. How much is there anything bigger than our salvation?
I mean, I don't care what you do on the earth. If you're going to hell afterwards, this is a blip compared to eternity. It's nothing. Even if you live to be 120, nothing compared to billions and billions of years. Nothing. What if you live to be 130? Can't even tell the difference. Nothing. How much bigger is it than that? So if we bowed our knees and we said, God, I need you there, how much more so we should be saying, I need you, Lord, in every little thing. I don't care if that makes me, you know, people think I'm backwards, but I need him. Well, you're just not independent. You're right, I'm not independent. I need him. No, I need him. I need to draw on him. Every part of every day, I'm going to lean on him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Psalm 118. I think we'll close there. Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then down in verse 13, it says, you pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord's my strength. He's my song. I'm not looking to myself. He has become my salvation. Look at verse 6. It says, the Lord's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He's on my side. The Lord is on my side. And I'm going to pull from him. I'm going to draw from him. He's my strength. He's my salvation. Somebody may push me, try to get me off, but I'm going to look to him. You know, it takes humility to say that. We have to acknowledge that we don't have all the answers, even to walk with him like this. And when we walk with him and draw on him, we're going to experience strength like we've never experienced before, because we don't need to have. He never designed it for us to walk through the path that he has for us alone in our own strength. No, he designed it for us to draw on him and for us to become, him to be our strength and our security and the one that we rely on, because the thing he has given us is only going to happen if we rely on him. That's what he's told us to do it, knowing full well they're going to come closer to me, they're going to grow up, they're going to be stronger, they're going to see my power like they haven't seen it, and they're going to be at a higher level when they walk through this. That's part of the plan. Do you know it? Because his number one concern in your life is you. And he wants to grow each of us up and strengthen us. He will never do something, put you in a position that's going to hurt you. We can always rely on him, but we will have to rely on him and pull strength from him. That's the standard operating procedure. That's being a Christian. We started out that way, we'll finish that way. We'll rely on him, we'll look to him, we'll be strengthened as we walk with him. Amen.